This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please, to visit our websites. They are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. Living in the world we're living in today, how do we keep our sanity and how do we understand what's going on? So I've entitled this sermon, The Spirit of Sodom and Egypt. And how did we get this way? And how do we keep our sanity in it, in spite of everything that's going on? Let's come here to Revelation 11, where it talks about how our society is, and we will see how it describes it. Then we will look and see how it is accomplished. Okay, Revelation 11 and verse 8. Talks about the two witnesses whose bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now, the spirit of Sodom and Egypt is quite a thing. Now, what happens? You have Egypt with religion and Sodom and Gomorrah with sexual immorality of the grossest kind. And this tells you the two major things which take an individual and societies and great civilizations down. False religion, and I say false religion versus the way of truth of God, because there's a difference. And promiscuous and immoral sex. Those two things destroy people. Now let's come over here to chapter 12, because we're seeing something that's taking place on a progressive basis. Revelation 12 and verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, who is deceiving the whole world. And that's present tense, ongoing. So today we're going to see how he's deceiving the world, some of the ways in which he is doing it, and then what happens when a society reaches a point of saturation of his lies. And we're coming close to it today. Now Satan, we know, is called the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. And as such, then, he's the false Messiah, he's the false Jesus, and he's got a lot of his prophets out there, secular and religious, who are preaching his way, making it sound attractive to everyone. Now let's look at another aspect of Satan. Let's come here to Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter, and let's see how the Apostle Paul termed it, and today let's add to what he wrote here, and let's put it together with all the modern devices that we have today. Ephesians 2 and verse 1, now you were dead in sins and trespasses, in which you walked in times past according to the course of this world. That means doing as the world does. We'll talk about that in just a little bit here. The way the world is, the systems of the world, the religions of the world, the government of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience. Now, that's quite a statement, isn't it? Working within. What happens when a society becomes very satanic? Well, that's what Egypt is all about. That's why God destroyed all the gods of Egypt. And that's why God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. The spirit that is now working in the children of disobedience, there comes a spiritual attitude that people have that is almost impenetrable by the truth. Now, what happens when a society gets this way? And you always have to ask the question of the most evil person you can think of. Remember, one time, that man or woman was a little baby. What happened from the time of birth until the height of evil? How did they get that way? Well, Satan is involved in it. Now notice, everyone is subject to it, and as we will see, in varying degrees, among whom also we all had our conduct in the lust of the flesh and doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. Now you see, today, just look at it, here's a perfect example. Today, there is a war against Christmas by the secularists who don't want any Christmas. And rather than using that as a springboard for truth, now even when they've had different ones interviewed on television about this war on Christmas, and there's one commentator on Fox News that even wrote a book about it. And I love the comments of some of these newscasters that say, they want the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, but when they're confronted with the truth, they want their version of truth. And they want their own version of lies. And I think Dolores made a very interesting comment. She said, they love their idols. So what do they show as Christmas? Now, a lot of people think that they're doing God service with it. See? Because to them, that's God, because they don't know anything about God. Which means what? What does that statement tell you? They are deceived. So what happens? It's all over idolatry, isn't it? You got to have your little Christmas scene, the manger, the baby Jesus, Mary, Joseph, the three wise men, and all of that. And then you have to have the Christmas tree, which symbolically goes back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it, in reality, people who keep Christmas, though they say it's of Christ, they are celebrating the fall of man and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in some cases, they even have plays showing live nativity scenes and all of that sort of thing. All right. Let's carry this a little bit further. Let's see what the Bible says that this leads to. Let's come to 1 John, the second chapter. Here's a little warning on how we are to avoid it. So we'll put this in here, and we'll intersperse the things that God wants us to do in between understanding what's happening in the world. And this becomes a major thing for us. This becomes a major point on how not to get, as it were, entrapped or sucked into this world. See, because everything is glittering. Everything. I mean, you look at all the displays, and just from a carnal point of view, people are attracted to the lights, to the color, to the pageantry. All the hymns and songs are nice and lovely. And remember, Ezekiel 28 talks about Satan, the cherubim that fell. He had the music in his tabrets, and Wherever you go, what do they have? Christmas music. All lovely, all nice. So people think they're doing good. 1 John, the second chapter. This is why God calls us out of the world. Now remember the prayer of Jesus. He said, I pray for them, not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is the truth. Now that's the prayer of Jesus for everyone that he calls. So the truth of God is the greatest protection that we have against being deceived. Now, 1 John 2 and verse 15. Love not the world. See, now that's why we are to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul and being first. And to love Jesus Christ. As I pointed out in the sermon recently, how do you stand before God? Jesus Christ loves you. God the Father loves you. They have called you. They have a great and fantastic plan for you. So that's why he says here, love not the world. So we don't get caught up in it. Nor the things that are in the world. And boy, are we gadgetized today. Gadgetized today. And Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Now has many, many helpers to keep people locked into the grips of his deception. Of Sodom and Egypt. Doesn't he? All the entertainment, all movies, you know, advertisements. And now all of these downloading in iPods and downloading into a cell phone, Walkman that you plug into your ears and you can walk around and not pay attention to the world and just be lost in your own make-believe world of whatever music that is and whatever message it is. And most of the messages are in rebellion against God, promoting wrong sex, promoting things that they even have now on television, the reality shows that take people down, 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 down into the depths of degradation and evil. And it's just reinforced and reinforced all the time. And people's minds are now occupied with evil because it comes to them everywhere. See, and kids today have been trained because mom is no longer around and father has to work so hard to be able to provide, and that's not enough, so mom has got to get out and work. And the kids are all prepared mentally by all the cartoons that have been developed, and if you take time sometime and watch the cartoons, you will see how this goes into the minds of kids. And that's why they now recommend do not let children under 3 watch very much television or very much cartoons, because the cartoons flip the scenes back and forth, and it causes dyslexia, and it causes EDD, attention deficit disorder. And because their minds at that age, and you watch little children, when they see something, they stare at it. And the reason they stare is because it's impressing upon their minds. And that's how they learn. And you learn 90% of what you learn is retained when you see it and you hear it and you participate in it. So now little kids, young as 4 and 5, they don't want dolls, they don't want little trucks, they don't want little toys, they want high-tech stuff. And they want these demon things. And all the games in there are based upon satanic things. Now, whether they're mild or whether they're in depth into satanic things, and we mentioned this in the book Occult Holidays and how they're destroying the children that way, but they are prepared. So their minds are prepared and calloused that by time they are in middle school, that they are now talking about sex. And President Clinton is wholly responsible for the whole plague of oral sex among 8, 10, 12, 14-year-old children in school, and they're coming down with venereal diseases and things like this because of it. When he said, I never had sex with that woman. And they all picked up on it and said, oh, oral sex is not sex. Let's go to town. It's just devastating. So you can see a lot of things going on. Just pay attention and you see how the world is going. And it is expressed very clearly around Christmas time, more than any other time. Now, let's continue on here. Nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, now here's the key, the love of the Father is not in him. See, that's why you have to love God first. That is your first safeguard. Loving God, keeping his commandments, adhering to the truth. Do not let anyone come along and compromise the truth. Because everything that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pretentious pride of physical life. Now, that's the way I translated it, because to me, that was more than just pride, because some people can be proud of an accomplishment, and you can say in a right way that they're satisfied that they have done something good. But this is a pretentious pride of physical life, and you can see this in everything. The way people walk, the way they talk, the way they conduct their lives, you can see it in athletics, sports, you can see it in all kinds of things in the world, you can see it in the fashion world, in the movie world, and especially in the movie world, all the movie stars and everything. And I could not help but think, as I was going through the checkout stand, and I've been watching all these, you know, what they put out on the checkout stand. And I made a comment to a woman standing in line. I said, I wonder who these are aimed for. And here are all the pictures of women, see. Mm-hmm. And women in their lust have a distinct desire to be like the model that is set before them. And so that's what it is. And the model is what? Become a whore. That's what it is. You know, you may say that's a little blunt, but that's what it is. Okay. And I commented to her. She said, yeah, that's true. And I said, well, I don't see very many magazines up in the checkout stand with muscle men for men. Who's it geared to? It's geared to women. Who did Satan start with, Adam or Eve? He started with Eve. He's still doing it. See? And if you can capture the minds of people and keep them repetitively doing these things and their minds on these things, there's no room for God. Maybe that'll help answer some of the questions. Why does God have to bring such terrible punishments on people? Because there's no room for God, as it says. They do not like to retain God in their knowledge, so God gives them over to a reprobate mind. So what you're seeing is the punishment coming upon people because they refuse to follow God. And you trace this all back, and it comes back to what? All of the religionists. Every single problem in the world has its root in Satanism, religion, and then government. Every single one. That's why God says it's Sodom and Egypt. God says that this is not from the Father, but is from the world, and who's the prince of the power of the air and deceiving the world. Now let's see what happens when you start getting a saturation of these things. Let's come here to Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 15. Something happens. And that is this. You become a captive. You have no room for God, and you become a captive. And when you become a captive, then here's what happens. Because he's the prince of the power of the air, and because he is working with the spirit of men to pervert them and lock them into his system, and it says here, Romans 8 and verse 15, now you have not received a spirit of bondage again. So what happens? People become in the spirit of bondage of sin. And this brings fear. Now let's look at it another way here. Let's come here to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, where Paul again talks about it. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Now, this is why John says, love not the world. Because when you love the world, the things that are in the world, and the pride of life, then something else comes from Satan, the devil. And that goes back to where we started, Egypt and Sodom. Verse 12. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world. Now, where does the spirit of the world come from? Satan, the devil, who is what? The spirit that is now inner working in the children of disobedience. So there it is, the spirit of the world. But the spirit of God, that we might know the things graciously given to us by God. So that's why God has to intervene and call. Now, verse 14. But the natural man, who has the spirit of the world, the spirit of bondage, the spirit of fear, as we will see, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, this means they can only be spiritually discerned by the Spirit of God. And the first sign of the way out of that kind of thing is that you begin to realize that you want the truth, and you begin to see all of the hypocrisy and sin that is flooding in upon you and your life and the world. That's the first sign that God is beginning to call you. Now let's come to Hebrews, the second chapter. And let's see what else this does, and this follows right along with religion. Because now religion has to come along and assure people that there's a way to get out of their sins, and that is through an immortal soul, whereas the Bible says the soul that sins shall die. And when you die, your thoughts perish. There are no more thoughts. You don't go from one form of existence to a continuous form of existence as an immortal soul. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 15. That he might deliver those who were subject to bondage. Bondage of fear, the bondage of this world, the bondage of Satan the devil. Subject to bondage all through their lives by fear of death. And that's what people fear the most. Now, you can take that even further. There are those who come along and they no longer fear death because they have been so programmed by Satan the devil. And again, what does this get down to? Religious teaching and indoctrination, to where people then are not afraid to die, because then their immortal soul goes to heaven. Whether you're a kamikaze pilot in World War II, and they had the Germans who had their own suicide pilots as well, or whether now in our day with the jihadists who are trained from children to hate, 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 kill, 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 kill. It was interesting, just yesterday, the Israelis got a 16-year-old boy who was loaded up for a suicide bomb. And the look on his face was, well, he really didn't want to do it, but he was you know, programmed to do it. And pathetic indeed. And then later that night, I saw a Palestinian and a Lebanese man, both who, when they came to America, began to ask the question, why do we hate Americans? Why do we hate Jews? That's all we've been taught all our lives, and now here we are. So this one Palestinian said, when he was asked, well, how did you get out of that? And now they are going around speaking against the indoctrination of the radical Islamists to kill, and against the mullahs who speak to kill. And this one man, the Palestinian, said, you don't know what's going on in the mosque around America. We were practicing for a future jihad. But he got out of it by studying the Bible and asking the question, why do I hate? And he was confronted with the truth. Now, whether he's called for salvation or not's another story, but you see, the only way out of that is with truth. Now let's see how this happens. Come to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Let's see how it is in the world that we are living today. Verse 13. Now, as you're turning there, put in your notes, Matthew 24 and verse 13, that because lawlessness shall be multiplied. Now, how is it multiplied? Look at what we are at today. It's multiplied with all of the high-tech apparatus that we have, and it's instantaneous. It says, because lawlessness will be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold. Now, here verse 13 shows the process. But wicked men and imposters shall become worse and worse. It'll multiply. It'll grow just like a fungus, just like a mold. Or as we know through the Feast of Unleavened Bread, leaven. Deceiving others and being deceived themselves. Now what happens when it gets carried away? Even further. Even further. All right. Let's come here to Isaiah 19. So let's carry this a little bit further and see how God brings it out. Isaiah, come to Isaiah 19. Isaiah 19. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. This is really quite something here. The burden of Egypt. Now, what one religion, an ancient civilization, is perhaps brought out on television more than any other? Egypt. Interesting, isn't it? Behold, the Lord rides upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence. One of the very first things. Now follow this in sequence. You get your mind off the true God, you're taken away from the true God, and what is it that Satan likes to bring in? Idolatry. And when you have that, then you're taking the name of God in vain, and when you have that, then you reject the Sabbath. And the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst thereof. I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother. So the ultimate result of all the evil that takes place is what? Everybody killing each other. Now just think what's going to happen when the jihad happens in the United States. They're already here. The army is here. Think about the scripture in Deuteronomy 28 that says the stranger shall rise up high above you and you shall be brought low. We're probably at the halfway point now, maybe. And city against city, and kingdom against kingdom, and the spirit of Egypt shall fall in the midst thereof. In other words, the deception of Satan, the devil, that spirit of deception has to be broken. And only God can do it. Verse 14, the Lord has mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work as a drunken man staggers in his vomit. Verse 14, very interesting, isn't it? Now you stop and think. Let's add some scriptures here. How are all nations made drunk? Out of the golden vial of the great harlot of Revelation 17, right? Babylon the Great, yes indeed. And that comes straight out of Egypt and Babylon. So when you say Egypt and Babylon, it's the same thing, because the religion of Babylon was transferred to Egypt. Now let's come here to Isaiah 59 and let's see how a society becomes as bad as it is. And what happens? And here is quite a description. Now we won't go through the whole thing, but we will see exactly the condition that we are in today. This is why God has to let the evil multiply in order to get people's attention if they will, or to correct them if they won't. So it works both ways, a sharp two-edged sword. Now, verse 3, let's go up to verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. So God, you know, is not in the business of preventing. God is in the business of people making choices, and they have to prevent. Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So that's quite a thing. Now, as we're going through this, I also want you to keep on track 2. Track 1 is the world. Track 2 is the church. And the same process can happen to people in the church, and we are living in a Laodicean era with everything that is here, right? Yes, so you keep track 1 and track 2 going as we're going through this. Now, verse 3. Your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has uttered perverseness. Sounds like the nightly news, doesn't it? Sounds like our politicians, doesn't it? It sounds like the pronouncements coming out of the UN, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. None calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Just do some channel surfing. Now you can have remote satellite dish TV and 400 channels and still there's nothing on them. Now, it may be in high-definition TV on ours. I have worn out one remote control. Think what it would be if I had to get up and change channel manually, get up out of the chair and change the channel and go do it. You know, that wouldn't work. But you sit there and you run through, and what do you have? Commercials all at the same time. More and more becoming more and more pornographic and evil and down and lustful. And then you have all of these silly programs about everything. And then you go to MTV, and MTV is the destruction of the minds and the heart of the youth of anyone in the world who watches it, because it's one of the biggest channels in the whole world. Now let's continue on here. Verse 5, they hatch cockroaches' eggs, weave the spider's web. He that eats of their eggs dies, and he that which is crushed breaks out into a viper. Now, you can liken that unto sickness and disease. What is the leading cause of premature death today? Drug deaths. Believe a lie, hooked in bondage, in fear. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are the works of iniquity, and the acts of violence are in their hand. Their feet are swift to evil, run to evil. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are the thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their way. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their going. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goes therein shall not know peace. Now let's look at another effect of it. Let's come to Hosea, the fourth chapter. And let's see what happens. We'll come back here to Isaiah 59. Hosea, the fourth chapter. And this is speaking of our people Israel today, and it also talks about another spirit that takes place. Another spirit that grabs hold of society. Now let's just begin right here in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth. And if you speak the truth, you're in trouble. We're going to see that a little later. Nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. That's why this movement to get rid of the Ten Commandments, get rid of God, and even those pseudo-Christians who believe in Christmas and everything are all upset because they're trying to get rid of Christmas. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Therefore the land mourns, and everyone that dwells in there shall languish. The beast of the field, the fowls of heaven, and even of the fish of the sea also shall be taken away. Let's come down here to verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So you have to have the right knowledge. Knowledge of God, knowledge of truth, knowledge of love, knowledge of hope and grace and all of that. And because they have rejected knowledge. See, they are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they rejected it. It wasn't that it wasn't available. It wasn't that it wasn't there. It was there, but they didn't want it. Now, here's another penalty that comes. I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. Seeing you've forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. And that certainly is talking about this generation today. It's happened in the past. It's happening now, but with greater intensity, with greater ferocity, and with greater sin and results. Now notice verse 7. As they were increased, they sinned against me. Therefore, I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. Can hardly wait for Friday to come to go out and do the scene, which is all nothing but being programmed and controlled by Satan the devil through movies, nightclubbing, drinking, drugs, parties, immoral sex of all kinds. Verse 9, and there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their doings and reward them for their doings. They shall eat, not have enough. They shall commit whoredom, but shall not increase, because they've left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine take away the heart. So there's a way to destroy the heart, the conscience, the mind, the ability to think, to grasp, to want truth. Verse 12, my people ask counsel at their stocks, in other words, whatever their idols are, and their staff declares unto them for the spirit of whoredoms, and that's what has gripped this world today. That's why it says Sodom and Egypt. The spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err, and they have gone whoring from under their God. Now, back to Isaiah 59. Let's see what happens here. Isaiah 59. And remember, what is Satan's way versus God's way? God's way, let's look at the classic three-part way to destroy truth. Theses is truth. Antithesis is against truth. And Satan comes along and says, God is a liar. He didn't tell you the truth. If you eat of this tree, you're going to become like gods. That's the antithesis. The thesis of God is true, God is right, God is good, His laws are good, everything about God is good, His way is true, and He will bless you. Satan's antithesis is, no, God is lying. So then what do men do? Then they come to the synthesis. They combine. They add evil to their lives. And here's what happens. Verse 9. Therefore, judgment far from us? Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night, and we are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn like doves. In other words, there's the madness, the evil, as if an angry bear, and we sit over in the corner, the ones who should be doing something about it, and they're just like silly doves kind of over in a corner mourning and cooing. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it's far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied against us, and that's what happens. It multiplies. It's like Jesus said, lawlessness shall multiply, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing from our God. Now, I want you to apply that to America in particularly. Because, you see, as we look back, remember we talked about some time ago the little primer book that was given to kids beginning in the 1600s in America. And it talked about the commandments of God and the laws of God. And the little leaven that leavened the whole lump in that book was what? Remember we came to it? The fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, but we keep Sunday and move right on. That was the leaven that set the stage for the downfall. Believe it or not. And now we're departing from our God, seeking oppression and revolt, conceiving uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Now here's what happens. Next two verses. And judgment is turned away backward, i.e. Supreme Court of America, i.e. the courts of all the other countries, or even worse. And justice stands far off, for truth is fallen in the street, like a bunch of rejected junk and litter. And equity cannot enter. Yea, truth fails, and he that departs from evil, they want to get out of it, makes himself a prey or is targeted by people that don't want him to get out of it. Now let's look at a couple of Proverbs, which gives us some bearing on what to do, how to stay away from evil. Let's come to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Because this is based upon the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the desire to be like other people around you. Now, when you don't know right from wrong, it's easy to fall into a trap. That's why children should be taught right and wrong from the beginning. But as we go through some of these things, I want you to think about track two and what has happened to many people in the church. To where this year, as we covered just last week concerning Hanukkah. Now, Hanukkah this year is December 26th. Now, what are parents going to do when they find out that a Church of God has said it's okay to keep Hanukkah, and they say, can I have a Hanukkah party? What's next? Well, how about a Hanukkah tree? What's next? Let's have some gifts and games. What's next? And it's all based on a lie because, as we read in the book of Maccabees, there was never a shortage of oil. That was a lie. And besides, that was an added feast of Judaism and not of God. It was made good old paradigm shift. Yes. Now, Proverbs 24 and verse 1, be not envious against evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their heart studies destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Now, that's why Jesus said that broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate that leads to life. Let's fast forward this and turn it to the other side, please. Well, let's come to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. This is why Proverbs is an excellent place to start if you have been compromising with evil and you have entered too many of the gray areas in your life and you have not had the resolve. See, because what the book of Proverbs does, it lays down the absolutes of truth and error, right and wrong, good and evil. Now here in Proverbs 4 and verse 14, here's what to do. Now, this ties right in with what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6, where he said, flee fornication. You have to run away from it because you get all involved in your emotions and everything, and then you're a dead duck. Okay, verse 14, Proverbs 4. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. We have to understand, that's what we have to do today. You cannot compromise with evil, as we will see here in just a bit. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And we're going to see in this book, the marketing of evil, that's exactly what the purveyors of evil have done to help bring down this nation. But it all began, like I said, at the beginning, Sabbath Sunday. That was the foundation. And their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. Now, if that doesn't tell you about television, look, you know, I remember when I was a kid, and we were told that some church people thought all movies were of the devil. You shouldn't watch any movies. That was way before television or anything. And you'd look at some of the movies, you think, oh, that can't be. You know, they had good movies with good themes and things like this. But today, is it not true? They're all of the devil, the majority of them. I mean, you even watch the History Channel on Bible history, and what do you have? All the lies of Satan the devil concerning Christianity. Now, here's the contrast. But the path of the just is as a shining light. And who is the light? Christ is the light of the world. We are to also, what? Be lights of the world, aren't we? By our conduct. Not blend in and become like them. That shines more and more unto the perfect day. In other words, you're growing in grace and knowledge. You're overcoming. You're developing the character of Christ. And all of that fits in this verse, which is the only solution for the problems in the world and to keep you away from evil. Now, verse 19. The way of the wicked is darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. But what we're going to see is that it was Satan deceiving the world, and he uses people to twist and to turn and to misinterpret. Now, again, I'm going to recommend the book, The Marketing of Evil, by David Kupelian, Kupelian. Excellent book, very well written. And he talks about the First Amendment. Now, in our age, that was the major crashing of the door to bring in evil. The separation of church and state. They twisted the meaning, because the meaning is this: Congress shall make no law as to the establishment of religion. It is Congress shall make no law, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And yet you have school boards, you have businesses, you have everything superseding the Congress of the United States, saying the kids one college student, he could not even have a Bible study with other college students in his own dorm room. Separation of church and state. Well, what needs to be said to them? Needs to be said to the college, you are not the Congress, you cannot make any law that is against the laws of the land, and it says in the First Amendment, nor shall you prohibit the free exercise thereof. Now you either change your tune or go to court. It's the other way around today. If you try and teach the truth, you either change your tune or you go to court. See, the world is all upside down. Now he says here, so let me ask, in allowing the First Amendment to be changed from its original meaning to what it has become today, namely the prohibition of any acknowledgement of God or his laws inside the schools where most American children spend their youth, do you realize what we are doing? Similarly, in making any reference to God or biblical principles off limits for those who are entrusted with the running of this nation's government and charting its future course, do you realize what we are doing? Then the paragraph above says, the only way we can change it is this. Whatever we do to rectify this terrible wrong, we must start with brutal truth. An unflinching realization of what we have allowed to transpire in our nation, only by facing those hard truths can we make any real progress. Now then, he says, we are deluding ourselves into believing that there is some neutral ground between good and evil. What's the famous call on the Fox News channel? Fair and balanced, right and left, good and evil, and you decide. Right? And what happens? What happens? People shift to a more neutral ground. Some neutral ground between good and evil. Now, what is a Laodicean? A compromiser. That's how they get into it. So you keep track two going as well as track one. Comment was made like the new Bible, neuter gender. See? Neither he nor she. God is father, mother. Schizophrenic. Okay. Now notice, continuing here on page 58, and that is where the government is supposed to be. But such neutral ground, if can even be said to exist, is in itself evil. When Jews were being gassed and cremated down the street, neutrality is not neutral, it's collaboration. When we realize that the Creator has stationed us on this earth in a battleground between a good kingdom and an evil one, that our real choice is life between obedience to divine love or disobedience, between honesty and dishonesty, nobility and shallowness, selfishness and selflessness, courage and cowardice, we see there is really no neutral ground. Thus, if God is not, if the government is not populated by godly principled people, we are doomed to live as glorified serfs, and that's exactly what this generation is coming up to be. Why? Because true religion and its fruit, love of truth and one another, constitute a powerful force working against the natural tendencies of power to corrupt. To put it another way, without having any real relationship with the living God, men automatically become their own miserable gods. That pathetic false god, in turn, owes allegiance to the dark forces he doesn't recognize or comprehend, and if he's in a position of power, he's compelled to become a demagogue or a tyrant, or, I will add, a hypocrite. What we are witnessing is the official ever gradual squeezing out of everything that's really precious to America. In other words, God. It's as though we're throwing away something so valuable that it is almost beyond the ability of words to convey it. We are taking the finest life has to offer, like the most precious memories of our children and of their birth and their accomplishment, and we're taking the sacrifice of our soldiers and of our patriots and our nation's martyrs, and we are junking them. Very profound. Very interesting, isn't it? Now let me read from page 76 and 77. And here's what's happening. This is where we are mentally. This is where the power of Satan comes to a point that the world is possessed. And he describes it very well here. Piercing the veil, page 76. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. So what he's basing everything he is doing is on the scriptures. Earlier in this exploration of youth culture, we pierced the corporate veil, discovering the shameful marketing reality behind its youth culture. Everything is done to alienate children and put them into Satan's camp of evil. Children's cartoons, children's clothing, children's gadgets, children's education. Everything is to strip them away from mother and father and strip them away from God and make them dolts and slaves fit for destruction. The ultimate end of that is anarchy. He says, now let's go the rest of the way and pierce the spiritual veil. History is full of times and places when something, call it a spirit if you wish, sweeps over a particular society. This something is drawn as into a vacuum into societies that have lost their way and have hearkened to the voice of deceitful leaders and philosophies. During the middle of the 20th century, a malevolent spirit swept over Germany, and we can add Japan and the Soviet Union, leading to unspeakable crimes perpetrated against Jews and other undesirables in the name of progress. In the late 70s, the demonic spirit of Marxism cleansing swept through Cambodia like a raging wildfire, resulting in the brutal deaths of perhaps 2 million. And they took their heads and they made them just like cordwood, stacked them up in rows, reminiscent of the Aztec. And today, we see the worldwide spread of maniacal jihad suicide cult that is attracting literally millions of Muslims. But this phenomena is evident not only in genocidal frenzies. The counterculture revolution of the 60s was, in to many, a spiritual phenomena with profound reverberations to the present. Likewise, the New Age movement, the preoccupation with channeling, and UFOs and other similar movements have an uncanny spiritual religious dimension that can't be ignored. True, mass conformity even to bizarre beliefs and practices can be explained somewhat by the sheer power of peer pressure, but there is more to it. It is more akin to mass hypnosis, where large numbers of people simultaneously adopt the same bizarre mindset, beliefs, and practices. Easily accomplished with all the high-tech things we have today. In such instances of spiritual possession, and so we're going to ask the question, what occupies your mind? That's important, because there are so many things to occupy your mind, as Doris and I were talking this morning, that you have no chance to think. You have no chance to contemplate. Your mind is occupied with music. Your mind is occupied with television. Your mind is occupied with other things. Now, let me just state very clearly, if you have to have music going on all the time, you are not master of your own mind. And if you have to have music and things going all the time, then you are not learning to think for yourself. You're letting someone else with the music and the lyrics think for you, and that's what your heart becomes. And what's happening to all the teenagers? They have rock music, rap music, rotten music. Gangsta rap, which is total anarchy and rebellion, and everyone thinks it's wonderful. Kids now go in their cars with their folks, and what do they have? They've got the flip down television to keep them quiet. Kids no longer talk with their parents. Parents no longer talk with their kids. They're all occupied doing their own evil thing, and they're all headed to destruction. They are possessed by the gadgets, and the spirit of this world is led by Satan the devil. And through this, everybody's living in a make-believe world. And you can't face reality. You can't face truth. You can't make decisions. Such instances of spiritual possession of a society and of a people made ripe for such a downward transformation by their sins and rebellion against God are evident throughout history. And in that, you have the internet, as mentioned before. Millions of people hooked on pornography. What occupies their minds? What occupies your minds? What are in your thoughts? You're so busy having your mind occupied with other things, you don't have time to study, you don't have time to pray. Well, tell it to God. That's where it is. Well now, is it just my imagination, or is there something about today's celebrity piercing and tattooing of the body and free sex that permeates this culture that literally evokes the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah? It's as though the rebellious spirit of reprobate pagan civilizations of the past was being tapped into, by today's pop culture. And it is. Ah, come on, you might say dismissively, they're just adorning the body to make it more beautiful and unique. Let them have their fun. Who are they hurting? Such milliferous excuses spring up in our minds quite easily, as most certainly they did also in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah and other perverse societies. And don't forget, not everyone in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them were necessarily involved in the evil, but they went along with it and put up with it, right? Were they destroyed? Yes, they were. Said it destroyed them all. The fact is, what has risen out of the pit in today's world bears striking resemblance to the ageless spirit of defiant paganism a spirit now inhabiting millions of people freed by trauma, such as drugs, illicit sex, bodily mutilation, and so forth, from the pain of their own conscience, which is to say, freed from God, and the divine law written deep in every person's heart. Why? Same reason as always, so they can be their own gods and make their own rules. Of course, in a very real sense, they're also victims. They've been set up for all of this. For not only has today's popular culture, from its astonishing gender confusion to its perverse and powerful musical expression, become toxic virtually without precedence in modern history, but also most parents have not protected their children from it. Witness Harry Potter. See, but the truth is, you now have a generation of parents that grew up on rock music, that grew up on pop culture, that grew up on pot and cocaine and methamphetamine and illicit sex. And so they are not going to turn around and teach their children the truth. They rather encourage them in these things and further abandon them. Now let's come back to Proverbs 4. And as we come back here, let's ask the question, what occupies your mind? Are you in control of your mind, or do you let it run rampant with lust and inner thoughts of hate, of murder, of sex? What do you watch? What do you do? What do you allow to enter into your mind? Now let's come here to Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, attend to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart. Now we're going to start talking about how you protect yourself from all of this. Verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So you're talking about mental health and physical health and well-being, spiritual health as well. Keep your heart with all diligence. You could also do this, guard the door of your mind. Now, I've given a sermon entitled, Guard the Door of Your Mind. Keep your heart with all diligence. Now, who is responsible for what goes in your mind and your eyes and in your life? Each person individually. That's why you have to regulate what you see, what you hear, what you allow to stay in your mind, because these things can be clipped into your mind very easily just by a jingle of an advertisement or a stupid little song you can't get out of your head. See, one of the first songs which kicked off the sexual revolution among those who watched MTV was the song, if you can't be with the one that you love, love the one that you are with, which promotes adultery, fornication, dishonesty, disloyalty, lack of love, you see. And that little song and all the catchy little phrases. What are some of the songs that even Frank Sinatra said? Do It My Way, Strangers in the Night. What are some of the things you see on television today that promotes a lot of promiscuity and evil? Las Vegas. What is done here stays here. We give you permission to sin, and no one will know. See, but yes, God knows, and your body knows, and your mind knows. So we have people addicted to sex, to gambling, to drugs, to pornography,
to every evil under the sun because they don't guard the door of their minds. See, you have to be diligent in it. And I was thinking the other day, I would like to invent a mute on the television remote control that when commercials come on, it would not only cut off the sound, but blank out the image. Because more and more you come along with a program that's fairly decent that you're watching. I was watching this, the news last night on Fox News. And bam, here comes what? A nearly pornographic advertisement. And what happens? You look at some of the ads and how they do it. They only need a blink of a second, a blink of a second, a blink of a second, and it goes into the mind. And there's subliminal advertising. They first did this in movies. Buy popcorn, you're thirsty. Buy popcorn, you're thirsty. And they boosted the sales of popcorn and soda many fold. And it was put up there so it flashed on the screen so quickly that you couldn't see it. Okay? Now notice this. The reason you have to, for out of it are the issues of life. Your very existence, mentally, physically, and spiritually. Your health, because it says they are life to those who find them and health to all your flesh. Makes you wonder, why are people really sick in addition to eating wrong foods? Because of what's going into their minds. I says, verse 24, put away from you a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from you. Let your eyes look right on, let your eyelids look straight ahead before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established, that is, in God's way. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, and remove your foot from evil. Then what does it talk about, chapter 5? Sex sins. Now, the Bible talks a lot about, and I'll have to bring a separate sermon on this, the Bible talks an awful lot about wicked, sinful, immoral women, more than men. And some women feel picked upon. However, when women are made to become promiscuous and whores, which they're doing at a younger and younger age, society has no stabilizing influence because men go along blah, 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 just like idiots. And God knows that. That's why when you talk about a king that was righteous, it always mentions his mother, right? And his mother was so-and-so. Why? Because the mother was righteous. And that's a key. That's not to say women are more inherently evil than men. It is this. If you seduce the women through women's rights, abortion, through divorce and remarriage and single children, you destroy the society because you've taken away the stabilizing, nurturing, growing influence and teaching of mothers. That's what happens to a society. So when it talks about women and whoredom, don't feel picked on. God is bringing out a very, very important point that we need to realize and understand. Okay, now Proverbs 7 and verse 1. Proverbs 7 and verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with you. That's why the commandments are a light. That's why it's a path we are to walk in. You see, and Protestantism paved the way in the 20th century for the lawlessness that we have and laid themselves open to evolution being taught in the schools and kicking God out because they did what? They had a lawless grace that if you believe in Jesus, you have your sins forgiven and grace covers everything, and you just go do what you have to do, and you don't have to keep the commandments of God, especially the Sabbath. Now notice what it says here. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. That's what needs to occupy your mind. See, Hebrews 10, they're to be written in our hearts and in our minds. Are we allowing the Spirit of God to occupy our minds, to lead us, to guide us, to help us? Or are we coming to church once a week, and now we're all set, and then we just go out and we forget about God and just live our lives the way that we live and come back to church and we're all righteous the next week? See? Always remember this, God knows. Now it says here, bind them upon your fingers, write them upon the tablet of your heart. Say unto wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinswoman, that they may keep you from the strange woman and from the stranger which flatters with her words. Now you can apply that spiritually to a church. Physically to a woman, physically to a man, or another woman in a homosexual age. Now here's what we need to do. Here's what we need to do. Let's come over here to Romans 8 chapter. Romans 8. We need to, number one, not only with the commandments of God, we need to have the commandments written in our hearts, written in our mind, number one. Number two, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. That's what we need to do. So here's what we need to do. Let's come over here to Romans 8 and beginning in verse 10. Romans 8 and verse 10. But if Christ be within you, the body is indeed dead because of sin. However, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling within you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal bodies because of His Spirit that dwells within you. So then, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. If you have been called of God, what you have, if you have the Spirit of God, what you have, if you know the truth of God, what you do, who are you debtor to? God. Christ is the one who died for you, yea, lives for you, right? That we are not to live according to the flesh. Verse 13, because if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if you by the Spirit are putting to death the deeds of the body by guarding the door of your mind, by not allowing these things to come into your mind, by letting your mind be occupied with the Spirit of God and the Word of God and not with the things of the world, through music, through television, through other things that are out there in the world. See? Then what will happen with the Spirit of God? You're putting to death the deeds of the body, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So let the Spirit of God lead you. Let the Spirit of God keep pricking your conscience. Now, when you come to a point, and this is very, very important to understand, let's come to 1 John, the third chapter, because we are confronted with sin that so easily besets us. But what do we do? Do we go to God and repent? Now, here is what's very important to remember and to understand. Let's pick it up here in verse 18. 1 John 3 and verse 18. All right, now verse 18. Little children, we should not love in word, neither with tongue. Rather, we should love in deed and in truth. No hypocrisy, no pretense, no covering up, no living a dual life, no being righteous before people and sinful privately, because God knows. And in this way, we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. But if our hearts condemn us, now, if you sin and your conscience pricks you, your heart condemns you, right? Yes. God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Now, if your conscience is pricked and you know that you have sinned, God also knows. What do? You go to God and repent. Because God knows all things. He's greater than our heart. Beloved, if our heart do not condemn us, then we have confidence toward God. And that's walking in faith, believing in hope, and living in love. That's all the confidence that we have. Now notice, and whatever we may ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and practice those things that are pleasing in His sight. Again, what is occupying our minds? Is it the Spirit of God, the love of God? And if it is, then we're walking in the right way or on the right track, if you can put it that way, you see. And then God's Spirit will prick us when we sin so we can repent. So what is exposing the evil that's within? The Spirit of God, so you can repent of it and get rid of it and have God's Spirit refresh your mind and refresh your heart. Now, let's come here to Romans 8th chapter and let's show what happens here. When we go to God, confess our sins, and get rid of the condemnation. This is very important for us to understand. And this ties in with the sermon that I gave, How Do You Stand Before God? Romans 8 and verse 1. Consequently, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. No condemnation. When you repent, God forgives. He forgets. He'll block that out. Now, whatever residual is still in your mind to remind you of it, that's so you won't continue to sin. But there is no condemnation. So if you come to a point that your heart condemns you, then you repent and there is no condemnation before God because you're in Christ. Because, verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, has delivered me from the law of sin and death. And that all gets into the things we know of concerning the Feast of Unleavened Bread, getting rid of sin and putting in righteousness and so forth. That all comes as the next step beyond that. All right, now let's come here to First Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. First Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. Now, verse 4 and verse 7. For God has not called us to uncleanness, but to sanctification, not to live and be as the world. Accordingly, the one who rejects these commands is not rejecting man, but God, who also gave us His Holy Spirit. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for me to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And that's the way that you overcome. And you also practice this toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia, but we exhort you, brethren, abound even more in love. And aspire to live a quiet life and tend to your own business, to work with your own hands as we have also instructed. That's what we need to do. Let's not have our minds occupied with other things. Now, let's come over here to chapter 5 and pick it up here in verse 5. But you are all children of light and children of the day. You are not of the night nor of darkness. So then we should not sleep as others do, but we should watch and should be sober. For those who are sleeping sleep in the night, and those who get drunk are drunken in the night. But we who are of the day should be sober, having on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's come to Philippians, the second chapter. And let's see the ultimate solution for this whole situation and how we live in the world. Because we have to live in it. We can't change the world. Only God can change the world. Now, you know, it's kind of like David wrote in one of the Psalms, "Oh, that I were like a bird and I could fly off someplace and get away." Well, if you have a motorcycle, you might be able to. Who knows? Philippians, the second chapter. He talks about love in the first four verses. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you. In other words, the way that you guard the door of your mind and make sure that it's not occupied with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the evil of the world is let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And notice what he did for each one of us, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself and was made in the likeness of men and took the form of a servant. He gave up everything to save us, not to let us live in compromise and sin, but to bring us out of sin, you see. Being found in the manner of men, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And it's going to happen. Of beings in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Then he gives this very encouraging thing here, which is important. And this always gives you stability in your spiritual life and being able to cope with the world. So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you. Let God work in you. Let the Spirit of God lead you, both to will, that is to have the desire to do so, and to do according to his good pleasure, that not only you have the will and desire, but you do and accomplish it. Do all things without complaints and disputes, so that you may be blameless and without offense, innocent children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So that's how we can cope while the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah reigns in the world. Now let me give you the title and author and ISBN number of the Marketing of Evil. I think it would be really good for you to get this book and read it. The name of the author is David Kupelian, K-U-P-E-L-I-A-N, David Kupelian. And the ISBN number is ISBN 13:978-1 581-82-459-9. Read it again. ISBN number 13:978-1-58182-459-9.
You can get it on Amazon.com. That's where I got mine. The Canadian Office, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6V5V2. Australia, GPO 1574, Sydney, 2001. Auckland, New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai, 2981. Nigeria, Post Office Box 1174, Uyo, that is UYO, 520001, Akwa, Imbom State, Nigeria, West Africa. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Whittam, CM81WZ. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Willoro, WILRO, Park, Republic of South Africa, 1731.